Hi, everyone. Welcome to Garden Fork. This is the audio podcast companion to the GardenFork.tv video show. We're all about DIY living. It's kind of a mashup of how-to videos, cooking and gardening, maker projects, home improvement. It's kind of the eclectic world of Eric. I make videos every week and I put them up on the internet. And I also do this audio podcast. So thanks for listening. Today we have two friends of mine, Mike and Rick, who are both regular contributors to Garden Fork Radio. Mike lost quite a bit of weight recently, and I wanted to get him back on the show to talk about how he did it. It wasn't any super crazy diet. It was just kind of common sense. And he lays it all out in a document that he gave us, which you can download from our website. There'll be a link in the show notes here for that. All right, here we go. So welcome, Mike and Rick. Thanks for all coming back.
Good morning.
Good morning,
to talk to you. I was telling Rick it's good to be able to talk to you guys and have you answer me back. Instead of me just yelling at my...
Talking at the podcast.
Talking at the podcast. Yeah. You got it all wrong.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong. I'm also intrigued by your new bicycle, by the way.
I am too. I'm in love with that thing. Can't wait to get out it and ride it again today.
Okay.
So let's start at the beginning. I would say that for a while, Mike, you were kind of overweight, and then you kind of had this epiphany. And I don't know if you could kind of walk us through the short version of the epiphany and then what you've done to lose some weight.
Okay, well, we can go way back to, and I was on the show, it was like 2, maybe 3 years ago, maybe more, I don't know, time flies. And I was out riding my bike a lot. I was out riding every day. And I had lost a lot of weight through the summer, and I thought, wow, this is great. I'm doing really well. I've lost 50 pounds. And but I had this feeling of dread, kind of, because I was thinking that all this weight loss is predicated on my riding my bike, you know, 150 miles a week. And I live in the Midwest. Summer's going to end. It's going to get cold. And then what am I going to do? And what I did was gained a bunch of the weight back. Gained a bunch of the weight and then some, because some of the habits that I'd formed while being on the bike is, if you're taking really long trips, you're pounding sugar so you can keep on moving. You know, that's what fuels you. And what your body stores, you're good for, you know, 20, 30 miles on the bike. But once you get past that, your muscle, you just bonk out because you've used it all up. So my eating habits while charging up to be on the bike, once you stop riding the bike, kept on going the same way I was riding the bike. So I was eating a lot of sugar, a lot of sugar and starches, gained all the weight back and then some. Then this past winter, you know, I was feeling kind of bad about myself, and I was like, well, you know, it's going to get warm out. I'm going to get on the bike again. But it just seemed like it was going to be a lot of work and a lot of catching up again. And I had heard there's a documentary called Fed Up. It's on Netflix streaming.
I've seen it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can. Yep. Yeah. And it's great. And another podcaster, he does a little podcast people might not have heard about, but Kevin Smith. He does his podcast.
The film director.
Yeah, the film director does his podcast. And he did a podcast about seeing that documentary and it, you know, kind of changing his life. Like, holy cow, I did not know how much sugar was in what we eat. And little facts like, you know, if you give a kid a glass of orange juice, they've got to ride their bike for like 90 minutes to get that to work that off.
Right.
Cause everything, even, you know, juices are just pretty much orange juice is pretty much just orange flavored sugar water. I mean, you're taking all the pulp, everything out of it. And it's just the sweet, refreshing, you know, orange juice, which is great, but it's mostly what you're getting out of it is the sugar.
Right.
And as a guy who would get up off the couch from watching TV to head up to bed and grab a handful of gummy bears as I went, I thought, yeah, I need to make an adjustment here. I'm in the same boat. And decided then that I was going to cut sugar out. Almost cold turkey. I had done some stuff before then with, you know, things like not ordering soda in a restaurant. Mm-hmm. I always got water or unsweetened iced tea. And just my after a while, I just adjusted. And that's why I preferred all. And it costs a lot less. You pay $2-3 for a pop in a restaurant. And your bills go down. It's a lot cheaper if you don't order that. You just get the water. And that was like one of the first things that I had done. And over about a month, I cut most sugar and simple starches. Simple starches are things like white bread, pasta. We'll get back to pasta, but yeah.
Some things are hard to give up.
Yeah. But I don't think pasta is as simple as a French fry. But I don't know. I'm not a nutritionist. I just cut all that stuff out
Is this based on watching the movie Fed Up or some research you did?
This was based on watching the movie Fed Up, plus knowing things about high carbohydrate foods like rice and potatoes. And just knowing in the past, I had read some articles about the paleo diet and about, you know, Atkins and all that. And people ask me, they're like, oh, so you're doing Atkins? I'm like, no, not really, because I'm not following any of those rules. Because they're saying like, oh, yeah, no sugar whatsoever from anywhere. And I'm probably getting that wrong. And that's fine. Don't get mad at me if I've got what Atkins is all about wrong or what paleo is all about wrong.
Yeah.
Because this is just what worked well for me. When I say I cut out sugars, I didn't cut out natural sugars. It's anything with added sweeteners in it and simple carbohydrates. So, no more breakfast cereals. Sorry, Eric, no more oatmeal in the morning. The yogurts, where a lot of yogurt has, even the good stuff, has sugar added to it, unless you're getting the plain.
Mm-hmm.
Any artificial sweeteners, because artificial sweeteners also, and there's lots of articles, and Rick sent me some stuff. He could probably speak more intelligently about this than I can, but artificial sweeteners doing things like, well, yeah, you're not getting the calories from it, but you're making your brain think that you're eating something very sweet and it still craves more sweetness. It makes it difficult to get off of sugars.
Exactly.
Also, you know, your palate is blasted by all this sweetness, all the sugar that we have in everything. And, it makes it harder to taste sweet things. So you need more sweet to taste the sweet, and you start packing more calories in that way. And so, you know, after a couple of months of doing this, of being, yes, very grumpy, irritable, it's not easy. It's an addiction. It's very difficult to do. I'm not going to say this is simple. But after doing that for a couple of months, I found that, like an addiction, you can break it. And I found I didn't want sugar so much or any more. And I also found like my palate had gotten supercharged. One morning I was eating some scrambled eggs going, these are the best eggs I've ever eaten in my life. You know? Like, why are these so good? And it's not like they weren't organic. There weren't, you know, there was nothing, they weren't, you know, artisanal chickens. It was just, the fact that I could start tasting the natural sugars that are in scrambled eggs, because my palate wasn't blasted by NutraSweet or aspartame or any of the other sweeteners.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that was a side benefit, but also almost immediately I started noticing that clothes were loosening up on me.
That's a great feeling.
Which was weird because I wasn't losing a lot of weight. I was a little disappointed because weight wasn't going away, but
remodeling your body.
It was
stuff around.
Yeah. It wasn't like a lot of weight was being lost, but I did notice that pants were a little looser. Everything fit. I didn't feel like a sausage, you know, stuffed into things. And,
right.
And, and then after, you know, a month and a half or so, 2 months, I started this steady descent. And after 6 months of doing nothing but not eating sugar, I ate regularly, and I made sure my meals were basically, it was a vegetable and a protein and then some fruit for dessert, and drink water or unsweetened iced tea. And you can do a lot with that. You can cook a lot of different really tasty, great foods just going with a vegetable and a protein. And after 6 months, I had lost 60 pounds.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wish and I could
during,
do that.
Is this during the winter?
This is, yeah, during the winter. Oh, yeah. I should add that this, none of this, I do ride. I ride my bike, but I don't ride it as much as I want to. And none of this is predicated on my having to ride. It's not like, oh, yeah, I don't eat sugar, plus I have to ride 150 miles a week. I can right. not ride for a month and still drop 5-6 pounds. Because it's changing the way I live, changing the way I eat, and not just from riding or exercising. And I am riding and I am exercising, but the idea there is you exercise to gain fitness, and when you're more fit, when you're not doing anything, you burn more calories. You just walking to the mailbox, your body is more efficient. So, right. you know, from being more fit, you do get weight loss, but not from the actual action of doing it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I went on a really big bike tour. Well, really big to me. We did 250 miles in 4 days, riding around southern Wisconsin. It was a great ride. And we were doing, you know, between 50 and 70 miles a day over hills. It was murderous. But, you know, a great experience. And at the end of it, I'd gained 3 pounds. And the reason was, and this comes back to pastas and potatoes and sugars. While doing these exercises, I did eat carbs because of the fueling, what I was saying. If you're going to go a long way, if you're going to do some endurance exercises, you need fuel. So, they sell these little packs of it's like a gel, which has sugar in it. It's just basically 100 calories of sugar where, bam, your body immediately absorbs it to gain energy again to make it over the next, 10 miles of hills, something like that. But I did find that when doing those rides, we'd get to a restaurant at night and sit in front of a big plate of spaghetti mm-hmm. and go, I do not want to eat that. You weren't in the mood, you really had to cram that stuff in. It was mainly a chore. But along the way, I will say that there were things I didn't give up. I didn't give up beer. I don't drink a lot of it, mm-hmm. beer and wine and spirits, but I keep it socially. And, if I do find that I'm going to overindulge in that, or one night I'm going to have a piece of bread or something, I just make sure I do something that's going to work that off. But like anything, if you keep your habit, if you've reduced your eating sugar and carbs and all these things, out of everyday life, having it once in a while isn't that big a deal. Cause over time you're going to lose the fat. You're going to feel better. You're not going to deal with, all the other side effects, which are horrible, diabetes and inflammation and other. I just feel great. I feel a lot better.
Cool. Wow.
And it's just based on the weight. So I'd say some things for people to look at is, go watch Fed Up if you haven't. Also there's the website. You think you can just search Google the 10-day no sugar added challenge.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yep.
Yeah. And it's just a matter of, hey, go try it for 10 days and see how that works out for you. I think people find it's difficult at first, but after a while, it's not so bad. And when you're conscious of it, when you're reading labels and saying, okay, what does this have in it? You find things like I think the third ingredient on a hot dog is corn syrup. oh, sugar in this too. Man, there's sugar in everything. But to make it easy on myself, I did stuff like making sure that I don't try to fake what I'm doing, if that makes sense. So it's like people who are, and I'm not bagging on people who are vegetarians, but vegetarians eating tofu bacon or something. It's just like, just get the whole idea of bacon out of your life. I don't go to fast food places and try to figure out how to eat healthy there. I just don't go to health fast food places. There's nothing for me there.
Exactly.
I don't do the thing where you go into a restaurant, order a hamburger, and then pull it apart on your plate and have the bun left over. And I just order, you know, I just look for the chicken or the fish with and order the vegetable. And they'll always offer you a potato, and you just say double the vegetables. And at first I thought they'd think that was weird, but I guess a lot of people do it because it's not weird at all.
Yeah, and the vegetables aren't that expensive to them. It's the meat that costs money in a restaurant, at least.
Right, exactly.
You know, for the restaurant cost. So could you walk us through, you kind of changed your, you're making your own breakfast now, and I'm curious what you do at lunch for work, and then when you come home at night, what it, what's kind of your general, if we could have the 5-minute tour here.
Yeah, I'll do it really quick. One of the things is, it is important to start eating at regular schedules. When I started doing this, I started eating breakfast every single day, and it's non-negotiable because I find that if I eat breakfast by the time normally I'd be like really hungry around 10:30 and I'm at the office at work and I start scrounging. And like many offices, we don't have healthy choices around the office. It's always the bowl of candy.
Say it ain't so.
It's the you know, bagels and cookies over by the coffee maker. It's all that. It's terrible stuff. So I start every day with three scrambled eggs, a big glass of water. Sometimes I'll grab an apple or some other fruit on my way out. That adds maybe 10 minutes to your morning routine. And like anything, you build the habit and, it's very easy to do. And I found that instead of being hungry around 10:30, I'd get to around noon and be like, oh, okay, it's lunchtime, ready to go. Then I get to either go through stuff that I have brought with me, or I would just go out to a restaurant someplace. And I know going to restaurants is expensive. But I think that if for breakfast and dinner, you're cooking your own food over the day, if you average in the cost of the meals that you changed for breakfast and dinner,
right.
If you add your $11 lunch or your $12 lunch, which, you know, you can go to a fast food or you can go to a sandwich place and spend that much money too. Mm-hmm. But so for lunch, like I said, I go to a restaurant and I order some kind of protein, fish or chicken or pork or whatever, and whatever steamed vegetables they might have. And it doesn't have to be plain. I get the stuff with the cheese on it or, you know, just no gravy or things like that. And also I do buy at the grocery store, I'll buy big bags of frozen chicken breasts or fish fillets. I buy a lot of tilapia fillets. Mm-hmm. And they're individually wrapped, vacuum sealed. So, you know, 15, 20 minutes before you're going to eat, you throw it into a bowl of water to defrost. And you have this really nice either chicken breast or fish fillet that I'll just with a little bit of olive oil, saute it, steam the vegetables, and I have a nice lunch. And dinner is the exact same thing as lunch. Just something that I have either frozen or during the summer, everything's been great. So I've had a lot of fresh vegetables. You know, you go to the farmer's market or something and you get the great stuff during the summer. But during the winter, frozen stuff is really good too. Big bags of it.
We actually buy big bags of green peas and I will just eat them out of the bag.
We like the carrots and peas, but I found that, and this is, you know, there's an app called MyFitnessPal.
Oh yeah.
And after a couple of months of doing what I was doing, I was afraid that maybe I was compensating, because you can do this where you go, okay, I'm going to give up this one thing. And in order to help stave off, urges to eat this bad thing, I eat way too much of this other thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I was afraid because when I wasn't calculating anything for my meals, I would just fill the plate with vegetables and whatever piece of protein. And I wanted to make sure that I wasn't overdoing it with that. And I found that if you fill your plate with broccoli, it's very hard to eat too many calories.
You know?
it's very difficult. if you're just eating a small protein and a bunch of vegetables to add up calories. And so it worked very well for me. And there's a asterisk at the end of that, and I'll get to that in a minute. But so that's a day. I don't know, questions about that or?
Well, I did. Well, we'll post your. Is it okay that we post your
absolutely
thing on the site? But you said eat a protein at least twice the volume of protein and vegetables. And I have a little aside of this. I subscribe to this fellow named Leo Bapauta. It's called Zen Habits. And he has a couple articles, a post about how to lose weight. And one of them I really like. And it uses kind of an unkind word here if your kids are listening. But he says, eat a crap ton of vegetables. And then for dinner, eat a crap ton of vegetables. And you will lose weight, you know. And he's like, look, I I'm not big on exercise. I just eat a crap ton of vegetables. And I was like, that's kind of like Mike.
Yeah. And because I got a lot of questions along the way. Actually, I would say along the way, after about 4 or 5 months, when you're losing weight, people ask, you know, what are you doing?
Are you sick?
Yeah. Luckily, no one asked me if I was sick, but I know that that is a question.
Hey, Mike, are you working out?
Nope. So a couple friends on Facebook were like, can you just write up what you're doing? And that's what I did. I wrote this. I wanted to keep it to a page.
Yeah.
Like one page really quick, because the answer is really simple. The 30 second thing is, don't eat anything with added sugar in it. And get rid of simple carbs, you know, white food, get rid of that.
Basically, simple carbs are basically like white bread, regular white flour pastas, things like that, or?
Yes, because
bagels.
Your body, everything below the neck is, it's a sugar.
You put an asterisk on pasta. What were you going to say about it?
Well, I do eat pasta occasionally, and the asterisk on that one was because when I'm going to go for a ride or do something to work it off. Some of these things aren't never. It's just you can't eat pasta at every meal because it's very how quickly your body converts that to a sugar. It's very quick. That's why endurance athletes, that's why Tour de France guys eat a big pile of pasta every night, you know, because they're jamming all that sugar back into their body.
Yep.
But if you're not burning that off, then you're adding it to your waste.
What about whole wheat pasta?
That I don't know. Okay. I don't do it because we start getting into that don't fake it zone of, okay, well, you know, I've got
like fake wheat. Bacon.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's a gateway drug right back into pasta. It's best just to get that out of your life.
So you had said that people are like, oh, are you doing the paleo? Are you doing the Atkins? And then you were like, no, I'm just not eating white bread, basically, you know, and sugars. And so you finally wrote this out, and it's more than one page, but it's a quick read, and it's actually had a big influence on me. I don't keep bread in the house anymore.
Yeah, you got to get it out of there.
Oh yeah, the way to keep any, you know, to not eat anything is to just not bring it home.
Mm-hmm. The problem with that is that I want to bake some more sourdough breads and stuff like that. So I think I'll just make them special occasion breads when I have people over for dinner. Hey everyone, I'm wondering if you would consider becoming a monthly supporter of Garden Fork Radio and GardenFork.tv. We've made it really easy to do so. We've started a Patreon campaign, and you choose a dollar amount every month that you would like to contribute to Garden Fork. The suggested dollar amount is $3 a month. That's less than a dollar a show, a buck a show, as Rick calls it. It's about $36 a year, so that's like a magazine subscription, basically, is how I think about it. If you're interested, there's a link in the show notes here. If you're listening on an iPhone in the podcast app, just tap on the Garden Fork Radio logo of this episode, and it will show the show notes, and there's a link in there, or go to patreon.com/gardenfork. That's patreon.com/gardenfork. There's also a link on every page of our website. If you consider that, that would be really cool. Appreciate that. You can also support Garden Fork by using our Amazon shopping link, which is on our website. You can also go to gardenfork.tv/Amazon, and that, if the technology is working, should take you to Amazon as well. All right. Thank you.
You know, there's a one of the reasons I've taken up podcasts instead of reading and in audiobooks is to try to get more exercise. Now, I have failed miserably this summer. It's been so hot. Last year I did terrific. This year I have not done well, but still, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and one that I've really enjoyed is called Inquiring Minds, and it's a consortium of several different publications, scientific publications. They put together and fund it. And number 83 with Tracy Mann, Dr. Tracy Mann, The Science of Weight Loss, was really informative. I've recommend that to almost, you know, to anybody that would be interested in listening to it. And it's a lot of the things, and a lot particularly about the myth of willpower and all the different things that go into the things we tell ourselves about weight loss. But Mike, I applaud you, my friend. I salute you.
Well, yay. Thank you.
I can drink liquor still. Mike says it's okay.
See, that's a problem with this whole thing is like people, okay, can I do this? I'm like, I don't know. I don't.
I'm not a dietitian.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just like Garden Fork, not a professional here, but I've had some success and this is how I did it.
Well, you're a professional human.
Yeah right.
Well, let's talk about snacks though, because that's, I need to kind of snack during the day.
Okay, they're the snacks, vegetables again. Eat your vegetables, have the carrots. I hesitate to say this is all easy, right? Because some people, they just hate vegetables, and what are they going to do? I don't know. You got to figure out how to like vegetables, because I don't have an answer for you. I have no replacement. I'll have vegetables or pickles or something like that. And you got to watch your salt intake throughout the day. But for sweet stuff, sweet snacks, I found frozen fruit to be really good. I go crazy over cherries, frozen cherries. Frozen blueberries are really good as well. Snacking on that. I find it's just fruits and vegetables because they're bulky. They fill you up. They don't have a lot of calories. Also, I have read, and I won't argue the veracity of this claim, but they say if you're feeling snacky, kind of feeling hungry, you may be dehydrated, and you should start with a glass of water.
Oh, interesting.
That some things that contribute to hunger, one of them is eating sugar. Eating sugar makes you hungry for more food, more sugar. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things I did notice after I had broken the sugar habit. I found that I wasn't walking around hungry all the time. But also at meals, I was making sure I was drinking a lot of water. And I found that if I was hungry at times that were unusual for me, I would drink water and that would subside. That would go away. And so there is also that for snacking.
You also have here nuts and a cup of plain yogurt with frozen berries or a cup of coffee or the ubiquitous glass of ice water.
Yep.
So walnuts or almonds?
Yeah, I ate a lot of walnuts and almonds. And you see, I say ate there because after a while, and this what I'm talking about right now, the simplicity of losing a lot of weight based on not eating sugar – after a while, you get to a point of equilibrium with the amount of calories you're eating. And I found that going back to my Fitness Pal and calculating what I was eating in a day, I was eating too many calories. Not so much that I was gaining weight. I just stopped losing weight. I was at that equilibrium point, and I had to review things I was snacking on. And up to that point, this was about a month ago, up to that point, I found that I could just eat as much of anything that I wanted as long as they were vegetables and some kind of protein. And now Those calories do add up after a while. And I found, okay, I need to measure out the olive oil that I use because I was using too much. I'd put like a tablespoon and a half in my eggs when I was frying them in the morning. It's way too much.
Yeah.
You know? and that way, you know, that's 120, or it's almost a full meal worth of calories if you put two tablespoons of it in there. So I just had to watch that a little more closely. And nuts are very calorie dense. They're great snacks, especially when you're hiking or things like that, because they don't weigh very much, but they have a lot of calories in them. Nutritionally, they're a lot better than eating a Twinkie.
Yeah.
But calorie-wise, I couldn't just grab a big handful of almonds and not worry about it. I had to start worrying about how many calories I was taking in a day if I wanted to continue to lose weight. So that's where the asterisk comes with nuts, but they're still a great snack.
I've from what I understand, like almonds, 200 calories of almonds is not the same as 200 calories of sugar.
No, and I actually put a picture up at the end of the doc, my manifesto. It's 8 pages, everybody. it went from 1 page to 8 pages, but I felt like everything needed to be said. A friend of mine who, and this reminds me of another side benefit, another friend of mine who is not overweight at all, but he was getting very sick when he would have any kind of milk products. He was lactose intolerant.
Mm-hmm.
He stopped eating any added sugar, any refined sugars, and whatever in his gut fed off of those sugars and was beating down the other gut bacteria went away. You know what I mean? Like yeah, he was right. No longer feeding it that part of his, what do they call it? The flora,
microbiome.
The microbiome in your gut had subsided. And now that sugar isn't in his diet, he can now eat, have things with milk. He can eat cheese and he's fine.
Yeah.
Because the new thing. So, but what he had told me was the comparison he used was imagine if you've ever seen them make refined sugar. Where they have a big factory and they bring in the sugar cane or they make it out of sugar beets also. Mm-hmm. And they have a big machine that grinds it up. And then after that machine grinds it up, they beat it into a pulp. And then they heat it until it boils and you see steam billowing out of this factory. And by the end of the process, the 18 stages, you have sugar. Your body's the same way. So right. if you eat an orange – versus drinking a glass of orange juice, somebody else has taken the part where they extract all the sugar and done it for you and just given you the pure sugar. Here you go. And your body turns that into fat in one step. Bang. But if you eat the orange, your body has to break down the fibers and extract that sugar. There's not nearly as much sugar in one orange as there is in a glass of orange. There's how many, what, 4 or 5 oranges in a glass of orange juice?
Yeah, it's quite a few.
Something like, yeah.
Yeah. And it's nothing to drink 2 or 3 glasses of orange juice. Can you imagine eating a bag of oranges? There's no way. You know, and so it's your body processing the same amount of calories in a vegetable versus just some refined sugar or honey or something else, it requires a lot more energy. It is not the same thing. And that, again, I'll qualify that. I'm not a scientist. I'm telling you, I don't believe it to be the same thing.
Well, it makes sense.
Yeah, and it, I mean, it really is true. In fact, I think this month or last month in Scientific American, they have their main article is The Hunt for the Fat Gene. You can listen to it as a podcast or you can read it online. And Dr. Richard Johnson is the guy who actually has kind of limited this down. And he talks about how we literally are breaking, you know, skipping out that entire part that Mike was talking about. Of breaking it down, and you know that you burn energy every time you do that, you know, for each of those processes. But if you just get the direct shot of sugar, then you don't have to do anything for it. And so it's possible, one, to out-eat your exercise every time. Mm-hmm. But also he talks about in this article, and I think it's fascinating that he's isolated this, how our relationship to fructose, the sugar in fruit, is actually the key ingredient to how we're putting on weight, and how high fructose added to everything is what makes the real key to our evolution, how we come to put on all these pounds. So it's really interesting to read that article.
Right. And that high fructose, that comes to some, another question that I got a lot was, is it just high fructose corn syrup? Is one sugar better than another sugar? And the answer to that is, I don't know. I'm not debating that with anybody. I just don't add sweeteners to anything.
But what you have to do is look for the hidden sweeteners, because there's an awful, if you don't do it yourself, there's an awful lot of hidden sweeteners in almost every packaged food.
Yeah, you do need to look. And that's why they call it, you shop on the outside of the grocery store. Have you heard of this before? The outside rim of the grocery store.
The perimeter, yeah.
Yeah, and there's I'm fairly confident that if I pick up a carrot, nobody put sugar in it. You know, if I buy a fillet of fish, nobody added any sugar. I don't have to read the ingredients to that at all. And after a while, some of the stuff becomes natural. You realize, oh, any kind of nut that you get that is glazed, that glazes sugar. Don't eat that nut. Pick a different kind of nut. But that's what I was saying about, like, not debating the different kind of sweeteners, which one's better than another. I just I avoid them altogether. And so all my food is much more simple.
Right.
I don't get a lot of packaged anything.
I don't something I realized after this whole thing started was that, like, the yogurt smoothies that have the organic yogurt smoothie actually has a ton of sugar in it.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't buy those anymore.
Yeah. Or if you go and get the juice, that's very healthy. It's kale ground down plus something else. And it's great. There's a lot more vitamins and it's better than soda, but it's still, you've taken out that part of the process where your body has to break down what it is. And you've shortened that distance between whatever it is you're ingesting and sugar. So I got rid of that part of it, and it simplified things. It made things much easier to keep track of. And it does require some adjustments to how you live your daily life. It's not as easy as driving through someplace. Sometimes I have to think about it. But I do, I'll get salads, through a drive-through, if I have to. But a lot of times I'll pull into a grocery store, walk in and grab stuff off the shelf and just bring it back to work with me, or just eat it in the car. It's not that hard. Sure. And it seems weird at first, but you get used to it and it just becomes a normal part of your life.
What's the matter with that guy, Mike, down in cube 17?
Right. Or that guy who's eating, cooked shrimp that he got from the deli, in his car.
Well, I have walked in and bought like party packs of they had little containers of carrots and celery and maybe some cherry tomatoes and around a tub of dip dressing or something.
Yeah.
I'll throw that away and just eat that.
Sure. Those are fairly.
It's all prepared and you eat it pretty quickly.
Those are a little expensive, but I found I pick up a bag of baby carrots or something, and then an apple or some other fruit that's right there, and go. You can go over to the deli, and there is some salt in this stuff. But if you get the turkey breast or something from the sandwich meat or something, or I just go over to the fish section and get whatever pre-cooked thawed shrimp that they have. That's stuff that's in a pinch, or you just walk around, you'll find stuff. Just don't go into the center part of the grocery store where all the prepackaged stuff is. Then you got to start reading labels.
Now there's a controversy here. Bananas.
Oh, yes. For people who ride, you bring bananas with you, 'cause it's another one of those really quick energy shot foods. There's a lot of sugar. It's natural sugar and starch. Your body will convert it very quickly. People love bananas. I'm not telling you to stop eating. If you eat a banana every once in a while, it's fine. Just don't make that your go-to fruit every time you eat something. Don't eat four bananas a day, because you're going to have a hard time working. You're going to have to think about it. You're going to have to do something to work that off.
So like a banana smoothie is out.
Oh, yeah. Smoothie anything. I don't... You know, and if you want to keep smoothies in your life, then you're going to have to go to the gym. You're going to have to do something to work those calories off. Or, and this is kind of that downward spiral, because you can lose weight eating nothing but chocolate.
Yeah.
You know, if you just count the calories, you eat nothing but, you know, 500-600 calories of chocolate a day, you're going to lose weight, but you're not going to be a very healthy person. You're not going to feel very good. And I did notice when using MyFitnessPal, when I used to just use it to count my calories throughout a day, there's a nutrition part where it tells you how many vitamins, how much protein, how much iron, all those things that you had in your diet. I would be out of whack if I was just worried about calories. When I wasn't worried about calories, I ate nothing but vegetables and proteins and whole foods. All that stuff came in line. All by itself, you know, all those natural foods that you're eating are packed full of the things that you need. And it, as a result, was less hungry. I felt a lot better, less achy, you know, the joints and all that went away. Part of that's because, you know, they didn't have to support as much weight, but, you know, some of the bad things in your diet or the things that you're missing contribute to your body not functioning correctly or at optimally.
Now, in the winter, you can't ride your bike on these, you know, these 100-mile rides, but you're somehow being active. Do you put your bike up on a stand, or do you have a treadmill? Are you going walking with your wife? Or
this is where I can get up and say, honestly, this is all about how you eat. last year, I bought a trainer so I can put my bike onto it. I use it twice. A lot of my weight loss, especially through February, you know, I live in the Midwest, February, March, April, I did nothing. There was nothing different other than the way I was eating. I was not, Rick used the term earlier, out eating your exercise. What'd you say? Or
so you can out eat your exercise. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you eat very calorie dense food and food that converts to sugar very quickly, it's very difficult to exercise that off. So I made sure that the priority was to keep what I ate healthy and in check and in balance and reasonable, and everything else takes care of itself.
It's kind of funny because I've kind of become, you know how your ex-smoker friends are the ones that hate people that smoke the most?
Right.
And so I see people in my neighborhood and they're like, oh, I'm going to pick up, start walking. I need to lose weight. And I almost say, you just need to stop eating white bread.
Yeah.
You know, you see how they eat. And I'm like, you're never going to lose the weight.
All right. You know what? I'm going to walk. I'm going to go for a walk. And on my walk, I'm going to stop at Starbucks and get the pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, it's like, oh, well, OK, that's all gone now. If you're walking to lose weight. And that's why I separated those two things. Exercise to gain fitness. Eat correctly to lose weight. Or wow. To make. So, and then another thing, I did, this isn't a document, it says occasionally have some sugar. And that's the word occasion. Occasion used to mean something. If Christmas, you'd break out the raspberry preserve, right? Because raspberries were hard to grow.
Right.
And they, you know, how many bushels does it take to make one little jar of it?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't go very far. And so we live in a world now that if you want raspberry preserves or you want any kind of treat, you want some kind of, you could have a birthday party for yourself every day, you know, and cheaply and easily. And I think we've gotten into that. You just go through the drive-thru and get a hamburger and get yourself a milkshake or something, you know, some kind of treat. And maybe we treat ourselves too much. And I said, you know, keep it at your birthday or the holidays, that one day during the holidays, your anniversary, some kind of special time. But if you're doing it more than once every 3 months, you're celebrating stuff too much. You know, dial that back. And It does make it better. On our anniversary, I had some kind of ice cream with a brownie. What do you call it? It's a blondie with ice cream on it at a nice restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
And in the middle of it, I looked up at my wife. I said, I'm having feelings for this dessert. But it was because it had become so special. And also, it tasted so much. It was like in HD now because my taste buds hadn't been beaten down by a Diet Coke that I drank earlier that day.
Wow. Well, cool. Any final thoughts, Rick?
Well, you know, I think Michael Pollan probably said it best, eat food, not too much, mostly plants.
Yeah, I didn't invent any of this stuff.
Yeah, it's, but yeah, it really is possible. And I am no person to be lecturing. I admire you a lot, Mike. You have done a terrific job. Last year, I was pretty much on track. This year, I have not done well at all. And maybe you will inspire me. But now, before we finish this off, tell us about your new bike.
Oh, yeah. I got a I rewarded myself.
And, as you should.
And I bought it's called a Surly Long Haul Trucker. It's actually a disc trucker because it's got disc brakes on it. But it's a special bike. People see who don't know biking see the bike and call it a 10-speed. You know, it's just right. It looks like a road bike, but it's got a steel frame. And the difference between steel and aluminum and carbon fiber, it's a little bit heavier, but you can weld stuff to it. And the reason you weld stuff to it is so you can have all the racks so you can put your bags on it. And the idea behind that is to I want to do some very long, unsupported bike rides where you're 7 days with a tent just seeing the country. And really, really looking forward to that. But it's beautiful. The colors, I went old school on it. It's just kind of this flat green, almost looks like an old army Jeep, you know, that kind of color. And I got the nice leather bar tape and the nice leather seat on it. And I think it looks great. I'm really excited about it. And it rides like a dream.
Well, it sleeps in your bedroom.
It did. The first night I got it home. I didn't expect to get it that day because I said, okay, this next bike, I'm going to make sure that it's measured for me and everything. And I went to the shop and they just happened to have the exact model color I wanted in my size. Wow. And I spent 2.5 hours there and they put me up on the bike and measured everything out and, you know, changed parts out to make it fit me perfectly. By the time I got home, my wife was in bed and I said, you got to see this bike. It's beautiful. It's like, she's like, I don't want to see the bike or I'll see it in the morning. Don't worry about it. I'm like, I'm bringing it up. So I brought it into our bedroom. I'm like, yeah, look at this. And it slept in our bedroom the first night, like a new puppy. I was so excited about it.
Thank you for sharing that, Mike. Okay.
It was nice. It looks good. In the bed with us.
it's a good looking bike. I noticed that it's, you do the real biker shoes and the clip-on pedals and everything, don't you?
Yeah.
So you're actually pulling up with one leg as you're pushing down with the other.
Yes. And it does help a lot. It helps, you know, you get a lot more power into the pedals, which translates out to the back wheel. I go all the way. I wear the stretchy clothes and everything. I'm that guy.
Oh, you know, I've been reluctant to wear those just because I don't think it looks so good.
Well, but you can do it. I think Eric said a few years ago he went and bought bike shorts that don't look like bike shorts.
Yeah.
And if you go to some of these places, you know, I'm not going to name any names, but they all sell. They'll look like cargo pants or something, but they've got the pads in there to make it a little bit easier on you. One more thing from the pulpit, and that's the bike clothes, the stretchy clothes, the really tight stuff people wear. It's not so they look sexy. Well, maybe it is a little bit, but if you ride a lot, you'll realize how much wind resistance plays a part. The difference between 2 mph wind in your face to 2 mph wind to your back is the difference between misery and being Superman. Like it really makes a difference. Anything that flaps in the wind is drag. And not like, oh yeah, okay, Lance Armstrong, you're worried about drag. No, it's serious drag. If you have a big flappy jacket on and flappy pants on, it slows you down a lot. It makes it very hard to ride. And that's why you ride the really tight clothes to keep it from flapping in the wind. So when you're yelling at that guy for who do you think you are and you blow your horn at him, That's he's not doing it because he thinks he looks. Well, maybe thinks he looks cool, but it's not just because he thinks he looks cool.
No, most of them look pretty cool when I see them. This is perfect bike country down here in Margaritaville North, though. We're a flat of a fluvial plain, ancient plain of the discharge of the James River. And so it's just almost literally everything is flat. And so it's great bike country.
Fluvial? Right.
A fluvial. Fluvial
plain.
A fluvial plain, yeah.
Fluvial, okay, there's the word for the day. But guys, right. Thanks so much for having me back on the show. This is so much fun.
It's a joy to have you. It's great to hear your voice, my friend.
Well, when we can get you off your bike again, we'll have you back on the show.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, pedal on over anytime.
All right, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll post Mike's easy diet plan on the website on this podcast episode. It's gardenfork.tv. And any thoughts from you guys, it's the email address is radio@gardenfork.tv. And go out and make it a great day. Thanks, guys. Garden Fork's theme music is used under license from uniquetracks.com.